Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We ask, Father, that your Spirit would abide with us and that you would bless us this day. We know, Father, according to your word, where two or more gathered together, there you would be in our midst. We ask, Father, that you would be in the midst of all of your servants as we've gathered together to give glory to you and praise to your holy name on this, your holy Sabbath day. We love you, Father, and we ask that you would continue to bless your holy ones, those whom you've set apart for a holy purpose, those whom you've baptized with the Spirit, Father. Help us to draw closer to you as we seek to walk in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah, Father. We ask that you would open our hearts, that we would receive your implanted words that you prepared for us today joyfully, that we would continue to praise your name and to give glory to you. We know, Father, we have but a short time before Yahshua returns, and we ask, Father, that you would stir us up, that we would do your will, that we would witness this truth to all of those that we come in contact with, but those that you have placed in our pathway so that they would hear that witness of the hope that is within us, and that they would rejoice in learning your great name, Father, and give glory to you and praise to your name. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all these favors and blessings. We ask that you bless those on the prayer list, and those that have a petition before you, and those, Father, who don't know you as of yet, but it's our job to touch their hearts that they hear of your glory and glorify your name. In Yahshua's name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. This message is entitled, Always Be Gracious. In whatever circumstance you find yourself, always be gracious. A smile and a kind word goes very far in this world. Most of us are very busy going about trying to make a living, and we should be excelling at life. We all seem to underestimate the power of praise and how far it will take you. I'm not speaking of flattery. We all know that it just boosts the ego of the receiver. A man shall be tried by his praise. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 21. Turn with me there for our opening scripture. That's Proverbs chapter 27, verse 21. It says, the refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold. And a man is tried by his praise. We're going to be tried by our praise, each and every one of us. But you know, praise is something that we need to be giving Almighty Yahweh. We can give it to one another as well. We just have to know how to take it. We can't go overboard. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1. Masters, render to your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you have a master in heaven. If we have servants or workers, if we're business owners or leaders or supervisors or whatever, and we have workers that are doing a great job, we have to praise them. We have to let them know that they are doing a great job, because that praise is power. It's inspiration. And people don't understand the power of praise. This is why we're commanded to praise Yahweh. There's power in praise. Verse 2, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving, with praying for us also, that Elohim may open to us a door for the word. See, we want to have that open door so that we can go forth and do the Great Commission, fulfill that which we've been commissioned, that we've been given, to speak the mystery of the Messiah, for which I am also in bonds. Paul was in prison at that time when he wrote this to the Colossians, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I was just on a journey. I was in Nashville for like 3 days this past week, and it was amazing that everyone I came in contact with was positive. I encountered not one negative person in 3 days of travel. Even, you know, when you're on the airline, sometimes you run into people who are complaining about their seats or whatever. But I, you know, was blessed and I sat next to people who were positive. Matter of fact, on my last leg, the first part of it, I was sitting next to a Muslim from San Francisco. I got to witness to him and talk to him, and very, very pleasant and positive conversation. Never met a Muslim like that. He told me his dad told him to do comparative religious shopping, you might say, to check out other faiths, to know what they believe. Therefore, you can judge things accurately. And most of Muslims I know aren't like that. And my second leg, I sat next to a Carmelite, she wasn't a nun, but she's a reporter for the Catholic diocese in Charlotte. She was on her way to D.C. to some rally that they were marching in about life. So, I mean, we had positive conversation. I had an opportunity to witness to both of them and from two different far, one Muslim, one Catholic, two different, and both knew the name Yahweh as well. But it was very interesting, and my witness to these people, because I was trying to get them to understand what Yahshua was all about. And the Muslim said, you know, in reading the scriptures, he believes that all the prophets were holy men and that they were special and that they did not sin. And I told them, no, they were human. The only one that didn't sin was Joshua the Messiah. All the rest of the prophets, even Moses, who was considered a prophet, sinned. I said, Moses killed a man. You know, and he was having issues with some of that. So it's hard to believe some of the things, because if they're entrusted with the Holy Word, how could they be, you know, fallible individuals? And I told them, Yahweh uses each and every one of us, and we have to be purveyors or vessels that are carrying that Holy Spirit. And while we are active with that Holy Spirit, as I said about David earlier, we've all sinned. And David asked, you know, create in me a clean heart. Take not your Holy Spirit from me, because that's what happens when you sin. You lose the Holy Spirit. It cannot maintain itself in a sinful vessel. And this is why people go back and forth. You know, and David asked that that Holy Spirit not be taken from him, but when he was in a sinful state, the Holy Spirit could not abide with him. Now, continuing in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, and this is Paul speaking. He says, all my affairs shall Tychicus make known to you, the beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in Yahweh, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our state. See, he wasn't by himself. He was in prison with some other brethren. And that he may comfort your hearts together with Onesimus, the faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. In other words, he was from Colossae, Okay? They shall make known to you all things here. What's going on with us? Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you. So Aristarchus is in jail with Paul. See? And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments. If he comes to you, receive him. And Joshua, that is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. Now, the circumcision is another term for the Jews. Okay? These only are my fellow workers to the kingdom of Yahweh, men that have been a comfort to me, Epaphras, who is one of you, another Colossian, a servant of the Messiah Yahshua, salutes you, always striving for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of Yahweh. For I bear him witness that he has much labor for you and for them in Laodicea and for them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, the one that wrote the book of Luke, and Demas salutes you. Salute the brethren that are in Laodicea and Memphis and the assembly that is in their house. And when this letter has been read among you, talking about the Colossians, okay, cause that it be read also in the assembly of the Laodiceans. And that you also read the letter from Laodicea. So you see here, Paul wrote a letter to them. It's not a part of the canon. It's not in here. But we know from what he says here in reference that he wrote a letter to them. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in Yahweh, that you fulfill it. The salutations of me, Paul, with my own hand, remember my bonds, grace be with you. So Paul was given instructions to the Colossians' brethren. Paul wrote a letter to the Laodiceans, and when this letter is found, it will create much controversy. But we know Paul wrote one to them. Now turn over to Isaiah chapter 61. Now before we go there, I want to read something out of a book I'm reading, How to Have Confidence and Power in Dealing with People. This is from chapter 12. It says, how praise releases energy. All through the ages, many people have believed that praise has some sort of miracle-working power. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity School of Christianity, wrote, words of praise, gratitude, and thanksgiving expand. They set free in every way, radiate energy. You can praise the weak body into strength, a fearful heart into peace and trust, shattered nerves into poise and power, a failing business into prosperity and success, want and insufficiency into supply and support. Did you ever notice in the Bible how often praise and thanksgiving are associated with miracles? Before Elisha miraculously increased the widow's oil, he blessed it and gave thanks. Before Yahshua multiplied the loaves and fishes, he blessed them, lifted his eyes to heaven, and gave thanks. There is an inherent law of mind that we increase whatever we praise. You understand? We increase whatever we praise. Charles Fillmore said, the whole creation responds to praise and is glad. Animal trainers, pets, and reward their charges with delicacies for acts of obedience. Children glow with joy and gladness when they are praised. Even vegetation grows better for those who love it. Just how praise releases energy, no one seems to know. But the fact that it does is common experience. Ever notice how when someone pays you a sincere compliment or thanks you for a job well done, your spirits seem to get a shot in the arm? I used to know a grand old lady who would say every time someone complimented her on how fine she looked, she said, thank you. I can live another year on that. She might not have been far wrong, for praise does give us new energy and new life. The lift that you get from praise is not an illusion. Neither is it just your imagination. In some way, unknown to science, actual physical energy is released. Dr. Henry H. Goddard, when he was a psychologist at Vineland Training School in New Jersey, used an instrument he called an irograph to measure fatigue. When tired children were given a word of praise or commendation, the irograph showed an immediate upward surge of new energy. When the children were criticized and discouraged, the irograph showed that their physical energy took a sudden nosedive. So even though science cannot explain the power of praise, science can measure it. There's so much more to this. I'm going to skip down because I don't want to read all of it. Several years ago, Charles G. Nichols, president of GM McKelvey Company, Youngstown, Ohio, and the author we're talking about the fact that cantankerous and hard to get along with people are usually suffering from a lack of self-esteem. Wouldn't it be wonderful, a wonderful thing, I said, if someone would discover a wonder drug for the human spirit, a sort of ego tonic that you could carry around in your pocket? Whenever you met someone who was discouraged, had a chip on his shoulder, or wanted to give you a hard time, you could just give him a dose from your bottle. He would begin to think more highly of himself. His self-esteem would perk up, and presto, he would become friendly and cooperative. There is such a tonic, Les, he told me. And believe me, it's everything as amazing in its results as any wonder drug. This wonder drug is praise, giving the other fellow credit, letting him know his efforts are appreciated. So it's important, brethren, for us to understand that we need to give praise when praise is due, and not, like I said, false flattery. I mean, not give praise to someone that doesn't deserve it, but to give it to those that need it, those that deserve it. And this is one of the reasons we praise Yahweh, because he deserves our praise. He inhabits the praises of Israel. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Yahweh is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the openings of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them a garland of ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he may be glorified. This message is entitled, Always Be Gracious. If we're always gracious and giving praise where it's due to the people who deserve it, that need it, then Yahweh is going to bless us. In verse 4, and they shall build the old waste places, the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priest of Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Elohim, and you shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory shall you boast yourself. Instead of your shame, you shall have double, and instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be to them. For I, Yahweh, love justice. I hate robbery with iniquity, and I will give them their recompense in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And Yahweh has done that. He's made a covenant with those who are trying to do his will in everything. and their seed shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among all the peoples, and all that see them shall acknowledge them, and they that are the seed which Yahweh has blessed. Yahweh is going to bless those who are keeping his covenant, the seed of those that are keeping his covenant. And we dealt with that in several of the sermons, and we're going to deal with it again. In verse 10 it says, I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as a garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the sovereign Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Let me read that again. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, and that's soon coming, because our new year is coming in the spring after the snow, which we have plenty of it on the ground right now, is melted. It says, the things that are sown in it shall spring forth, so the sovereign Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So all the nations are going to see the praise of Yahweh and righteousness to spring forth. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, 14. Always be gracious. And Yahshua returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. This is after he was tempted of the devil. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a fame went out concerning him throughout all the region all around. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he entered in, as his custom was, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered to him the books of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book, and he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. That's the year of Jubilee, the year of release. And that's what Yahshua did. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Remember, Luke is the physician. He wrote, he traveled with Paul. He wrote this book. This is Luke chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 to 4. It says, since many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us, even as they delivered them to us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first, to write to you in order, most excellent Theophilus, that you might know the certainty concerning the things in which you were instructed. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. As something similar. Verses 1 to 5, it says, the former treaties I made, O Theophilus, That term Theophilus, Theo is supposed to be for Yahweh, and Philos is love. Concerning all that Yahshua began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was received up. After that, he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. And we had 12 apostles whom he chose, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing to them by a space of 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of Yahweh. And being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, "You heard from me, but John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit after not many days." If we share the Spirit of Yahweh, which we do, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will cause us to always be gracious, brethren. We're going to follow suit. Turn over to Revelation chapter 1. Now, Revelation chapter 1, John wrote this in 98 Common Era. That's 1915 years ago, brethren. Revelation 1, starting verse 1. The revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, which Yahweh gave him to show to his servants, even the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness of the word of Yahweh and of the testimony of Yahshua the Messiah, of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep the things that are written in it, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven assemblies that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits that are before his throne, and from Yahshua the Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him that loves us and loosed us from our sins by his blood, and he made us a kingdom of priests to his El and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. So this thing about a rapture is foolishness. Because it tells us when he comes, every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn over him. Even so, amen. I am the Aleph and the Tau, says Yahweh, Elohim, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partaker, with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patience in Yahshua, was in the isles that is called Patmos. For the word of Yahweh and the testimony of Yahshua, I was in the spirit on Yahweh's day. And I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, "What do you see? Write in a book and send it to the seven assemblies, to Ephesus, and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." And I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about at the breast with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair were white as white wool, as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like burnished brass, as if it had been refined in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of the grave. Write therefore the things which you saw, and the things which are, and the things which shall come to pass after this. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven assemblies. These are the leaders, the elders. And the seven lampstands are the seven assemblies. We're going to start, Revelation chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. And to the leader, the angel of the assembly of Ephesus, Timothy was the bishop or the angel of Ephesus at one time. He was the first one. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, the seven assemblies. I know your works and your toil and patience, and that you cannot bear evil men, and did try them. They called themselves apostles, but they were false, and they are not, and did find them false. And you have patience and did bear for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you did leave your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I come to you, and will move your lampstand out of its place, except you repent. But this you have, that you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To him that overcomes, to him will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of Elohim. Now, we know that there was a book written to Ephesus, right, called the Ephesians. Timothy was the bishop of that assembly. Paul was writing to not only that assembly, he wrote to the assembly of Laodicea. Those are only two that he wrote books to, or letters. We don't have letters to the other five of the seven. We have right here in Revelation what it speaks to each of these different seven assemblies. Now, drop down to Revelation chapter 3, 14. We're going to see what he says to the angel, or bishop, or leader of the assembly of Laodicea. Verse 14, he says, And to the angel of the assembly in Laodicea write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of El. This is Yahshua the Messiah. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would rather you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth, because you say I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing, and know not that you are a wretched one and a miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you to buy of me gold refined by fire. See, we have to go through that fire that John was speaking of in chapter 1. Talking about that tribulation that we have to go through to be refined. He because you say I am rich. And in Laodicea, obviously they felt they were rich, having gotten riches and had need of nothing, and know not that you're wretched one, and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel of you to buy of me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, we know, which are the righteous acts of the saints, from Revelation 19:8, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness not be made manifest, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will have supper with him, and he with me. He that overcomes, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assembly. Now the last one I want to read here is Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, to Philadelphia. And to the angel, or the bishop, the leader, elder of the assembly in Philadelphia, write, these things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no one shut, and that shuts and none opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door. The door is open before us, brethren. All we have to do is go through, which none can shut, that you have a little power and did keep my word and did not deny my name. Behold, I give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are worshipers of Yahweh, Jews, and they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you did keep the word of my patience. I will also keep you from the hour of trial, from the tribulation, that hour which is to come upon the whole world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly, hold fast that which you have, that no one take your crown. He that overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my Elohim, and he shall go out from there no more. And I write upon him the name of my Elohim and the name of the city of my Elohim, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my Elohim and my own new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assembly. If we share the Spirit of Yahweh, which we do, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will cause us to always be gracious, brethren. Timothy was the angel of Ephesus. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, I charge you in the sight of Yahweh and of the Messiah Yahshua, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season. This is during the holy times and even outside of the holy time. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and turn aside the fables. But you be sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, for I'm already being offered, and the time of my departure has come. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. From here onward, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Master, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. Not to me only, but also all to all them that have loved his appearing. Everyone that loves the appearing of Yahshua the Messiah will receive at that day. Verse 9, give diligence to come to me, come shortly to me. For Demas forsook me, having loved the present world, and went to Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministering. But Tychius I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, bring when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith in Acts 19:33 did me much evil. Yahweh will render to him according to his works, of whom you do you also beware, for he greatly withstood our words. At my first defense, no one took my part, but all forsook me, just like they betrayed Yahshua. May it not be laid to their account. But the Master stood by me and strengthened me, that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. We know that that lion represents the Jews, Yehuda. Yahshua will deliver me from every evil work and will save me to his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the house of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and Trophimus left. I left sick at Miletus. Give diligence to come before winter. Eubulus salutes you, and Prudence, and Linus and Claudia, and all the brethren. Yahweh be with your spirit, and grace be with you. Paul is telling Timothy, who was the angel of Ephesus. He was the bishop there. He's telling him to take care of certain things. Timothy was a young man. He was the son of a Gentile and a Jew, Jewish mother. Paul took him under his wing and taught him. And he was very faithful in the worship of Almighty Yahweh. He was very, always gracious. Timothy was able to do a good job. But as you see in Revelation chapter 2, where he's speaking to that angel of Ephesus, he's telling them not to forget his first love, because they obviously went off course. That's what happens. Satan is going to come in and try to destroy Yahweh's people every time. And now, turn over to Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Titus 1:1. Paul, a servant of Yahweh and an apostle of Yahshua the Messiah, according to the faith of Yahweh's elect, these are special people, and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to righteousness, in hope of eternal life, which Yahweh, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal, but in his own seasons manifested his word in the message, with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of Yahweh our Savior, to Titus, my true child, after common faith, grace and peace, from Yahweh the Father and the Messiah, Yahshua, our Savior. Titus was another young man like Timothy. who also was very, very faithful. Verse 5, it says, "For this cause I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that were wanting and appoint elders in every city, as I gave you charge. If any man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having children that believe, who are not accused of riot or unruly, for the bishop must be blameless as Yahweh's steward, not stubborn, not soon angry, no brawler, nor striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but given to hospitality, a lover of good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding to the faithful word which is according to the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in the sound doctrine and to convict the gainsayers." We have to be willing to open our homes to our brethren. You know, people come in, even angels who come in. You don't know whether they're angels or not. Well, we're supposed to have the spirit of hospitality. Because if we are always gracious, we're going to be doing the will of Yahweh in everything. We're not going to be judging one another and saying, "Well, I think this person has this problem over here," and not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Put them in mind to be in subjection to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, not to be contentious, to be gentle, showing all meekness toward all men. For we also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness, the graciousness of Yahweh our Savior and his love toward men appeared, not by works and righteousness, which we ourselves did, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Yahshua the Messiah." It's nothing that we did, brethren. This is what Yahweh did for us through Yahshua the Messiah. In verse 7, "that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Faithful is the saying concerning these things. I desire that you affirm confidently to the end that they who have believed Yahweh may be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." But it's something that Yahweh has done for us and through us, through the Holy Spirit that he has given to each and every one of us that has entered into that promise. First Corinthians chapter 4, for our final scripture. First Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 1 to 5. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of ministers of the Messiah and stewards of the mysteries of Yahweh. Here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man is found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yes, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing against myself, yet am I not justified by this? But he that judges me is Yahshua. Therefore judge nothing before time until Yahshua comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall each man have his praise from Yahweh." Brethren, we want to be praised by Yahweh. We want to receive that energy that praise gives us from our Father in heaven. Remember, there are three things that we need to do to always be gracious. Number one, devote yourselves to prayer. I'll repeat that. There are three things to us always being gracious that we have to do. And number one is devote yourselves to prayer, which you see in the scriptures that we read, they did a lot of. Two, conduct yourselves with wisdom. It's important that we conduct ourselves with wisdom because the Holy Spirit is what's teaching us. It's guiding us so that we can live a gracious life. And number three, let your speech always be with grace. That's number three. Let your speech always be with grace. Always be gracious, brethren, as we seek Almighty Yahweh's Holy Spirit in everything. His Holy Spirit is the power which gives us the lift we need. Remember, the sovereign Yahweh will make righteousness and praise spring forth before all nations. And that's going to come through his servants who are keeping the covenant, who are doing that which is right in Almighty Yahweh's name. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him and do his will. Now, I'd like to ask Brother Davis again to close with a word of prayer. And I'm going to have to unmute.
Father Yahweh, we come humbly but boldly before your throne of mercy and grace. We see ourselves, Father, again in the midst of your word, using your word as a mirror. We came up short again, Father Yahweh, and we seek forgiveness of our sins. Allow us that spirit of humility to always be gracious, Father Yahweh. Allow us that humbleness in our hearts and our minds, and put the law of kindness on our tongues, Father Yahweh. We want the open door that you have opened before us, Father Yahweh. We don't want that door that man is open that can shut. But you're the one that opened and no man can shut. And you're the one that shut that no man can open, Father Yahweh. We even ask you right now, Heavenly Father, that you would deliver us from the deceiving tongues, Father. Deliver us from the false flattery that comes across many of us on a daily basis. The people scream about how much they love you and serve you, Father Yahweh, but they hate those and despise those whom they see on a daily basis. We seek deliverance as never before, Father Yahweh. We ask right now, Heavenly Father, that you will instill these three things in us, Father, so that we can become better children of yours, Father Yahweh. Allow us to continue to devote ourselves to prayer. Allow us to conduct ourselves with wisdom, Father Yahweh. Allow our speech to always be with grace, Father, whether in season or out of season. We ask this right now, Father Yahweh, in the midst of our lives. Seal this word, Father, with all the scriptures in it. Seal this word within us so that we can act upon it and remain fruitful unto righteousness. We ask these and all other blessings right now. In your son Yahshua's name, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.